Blog Talk Radio.
If it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, I don't know where I would be. Fellowship, let's go.
My testimony is real.
I just want the world to know.
Here we go.
Gotta show back.
it's home, what really matters, like the wife and family. Want the world to sing with me.
To the Spirit Alive Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. And this is The Summit. Hallelujah. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to The Summit. I'm Bishop Shalane Cook, and today I will be standing in Minister Adam Tuggle's stead. Hallelujah. But before we begin, let's have a word of prayer. Most gracious and heavenly Father, I come before you right now in the name of Jesus, just praising your holy name because you are worthy to be praised. Father God, I just pray a special blessing down upon our minister, Minister Adam Tuggle. Father God, we don't know the situation, but we know that you sit high and you look low and you know all about it. So, Father, we just ask that you bless him right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And, Father, bless me as I bring this lesson today and stand in his stead in excellence. I pray in the name of Jesus for our listeners, Father God. And I pray that someone listening today that doesn't know you in the pardon of their sin will come running, asking what they can do to be saved. It is in Jesus' name. Amen. And to God be the glory. Hallelujah, saints of God. With everything going on in the world today, it is real easy to get down in the dumps. It is real easy to get depressed. But today I want to share with you how to go from the pit to praise. So turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 40. Psalm 40. If you are listening via your computers or in the chat rooms, you are more than welcome to go to BibleGateway.com, type in Psalm 40, and it will bring it up for you. Hallelujah. The Word of God reads as follows. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. We just want to thank you. Hallelujah. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside the lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to us work, up to us work. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore my heart faileth thee, me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backwards and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame that say unto me, aha, aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Hallelujah. So we're talking about moving from the pit of desperation and despair and depression to praise. Because occasionally we all find ourselves in the pits of discouragement, depression, or disappointment. A general sense of hopelessness and despair overwhelms us when we find ourselves in the pits of those helpless feelings. When we are in the pits of life, we need the help of God to deliver us from emotional, mental, financial, or social low predicaments. Sometimes the Lord delivers us directly, hallelujah, but sometimes he will indeed send, hallelujah, help, and he will use certain people. Here's a quote. I think we delight to praise what we enjoy because the praise not merely expresses but completes the enjoyment. It is not out of compliment that lovers keep on telling one another how beautiful they are. The delight is incomplete till it is expressed, and that comes from the great theologian C.S. Lewis. Now, I want you to remember that God wants to move you from the pit to praise with his mighty power to deliver. Now, there are several lessons that we can learn from David in Psalm 40 to help us move from the pit of despair to the pinnacle of praise, power, and higher perspective. Number one, we need to patiently wait on the Lord every morning in our devotions. We need to find his overcoming help to deliver us from emotional, mental, or relational pits. Now, we can claim the blessed promise from Isaiah 41 and 10. They who wait, which means meditate, look to, and hope in upon the Lord, will renew their strength. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. Waiting on the Lord requires discipline, but it also requires the confidence in God that he is greater than any problem that we may have, and he wants to use these down times to draw us closer to him. Now, here's an illustration from Leonardo da Vinci. He says, patience serves as a protection against wrongs as clothes do against cold. For if you put on more clothes as the cold increases, it will have no power to hurt you. So in like manner, you must grow in patience when you meet with great wrongs, and they will then be powerless to vex your mind. Hallelujah. So first of all, we have to learn how to wait on the Lord and wait patiently on the Lord. And then we need to learn how to praise God in advance for his power, his deliverance, and his plan to lift our head. David wrote, "The glory and the lifter of my head, for you, O Lord, art a shield for me. The glory and the lifter of my head, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill." Praise God for his problem-solving ability, saints. He has the ability to help overcome any problem that you or I may be facing with his wisdom, knowledge, and all of his resources. He always finds a way when there seems to be no way. He works in ways that we simply cannot see. He will find a way for you and I out of our predicament. He finds a way for us to come up out of that pit. And we need to thank God for the way he has delivered godly people in the past and know he will do the same for us. David recalled how God lifted him out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. Then he said, he set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. Hallelujah. Now, I can remember as a new Christian singing, love lifted me. Love lifted me when nothing else could help. Love lifted me. Now, the song leader said, let us replace the word love with Christ and sing that chorus again. That wonderful song has lifted me out of despair, depression, and discouragement more times than I can count, because I know that it is Jesus, my Lord and Savior, who lifts me out of my sense of hopelessness, sadness, and weakness. When it seems that nothing else will help us, remember to sing the song, Christ lifted me. Oh, hallelujah. Christ lifted me when nothing or no one else could help. Our Lord and Savior, Christ lifted me. We can be sorrowful, but we can always be rejoicing. Like the Apostle Paul, as we sing with confidence the new song that Christ lifts us and his lifting power. Hallelujah. He has the power to pull us up. Now, we need to be assured that God will bring us out of any rut, depression, or any difficult times that we are in. He will set us upon a new foundation. He will give us new opportunities and a launching pad because he is a God of new beginnings. He will establish our ways as he provides us with a new energy to embark on greater projects for the qualitative and the quantitative advancement of his kingdom and his righteousness. David wrote, he has given me a new song to us to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see what he has done and be astounded. They will put their trust in the Lord. Not only will the Lord deliver us, but he will bring others to himself as a result of our experience of deliverance. Now, most people are more inspired when they see someone delivered from their times of testing. Hallelujah. Now, can you remember when all of those miners was trapped in that watery mine in Pennsylvania for 11 days and the entire news media gave 24-hour coverage to the plight of those 9 brave miners? The entire nation rejoiced when all the men were lifted up from the depths of their watery graves, faces blackened in yellow rescue tubes, to the rejoicing hundreds of millions around the world. All the men gave credit to the rescuers, but they recognized that it was the grace of God that lifted them up out of that slimy pit. Sometimes the Lord allows us to be trapped with no way out just to show others his power through our experience of deliverance. He allowed Joseph to be thrown into a pit where he was subsequently imprisoned in Egypt for 18 years. Yet, in Genesis 50:20, Joseph wrote about his brothers. You meant to throw me in the pit for evil, but God turned it for good, for the saving of many lives. Saints of God, we need to allow the Lord to use our present discouraging experiences for his greater purposes, plan, and power of demonstration. Listen, we have to stop thinking that we have to be delivered instantly. God is using us for his greater display of mighty power, perspective, and problem-solving capacity. We gain new understanding, wisdom, and maturity as a result of our pit experiences. David wrote, you can take no delight in sacrifices or offering. Now that you have made me listen, I finally understand. Then I said, look, I come. And this has been written in the scroll of the book. I take joy in doing your will, my God, for your law is written in my heart. Now, previously, David performed religious rituals of offering animals and sacrifices in the tabernacle. But now David realizes that these offerings are essentially meaningless unless they're being done for the right reason. You see, saints, too many of us Christians may go into church or ritual. You know, it's like we're doing our assignment, and our assignments are giving, serving, or completing some task at work, and it's nothing more than a ritual that fulfills an obligation. Now, I submit to you today that instead of just doing things for the ritualistic value, we need to see that everything done ritualistically, selfishly, or out of a grudging sense of obligation is all being done in vain. You see, God wants us to serve the Lord with gladness and come into his presence with singing, knowing that the Lord is God and he has given us the privilege of offering ourselves as a living sacrifice of worship, gratitude, and love to him. So we need to make sure that we give ourselves completely to God with an attitude of love, thankfulness, and worshipful submission. Now, there was a chorus that we sing in church all the time, and it goes, "What he's done for me, he has taken away my sorrows. Oh, glory, hallelujah, he is coming to take us home." And when we consider all the great things he has done for us, we cannot help but serve the Lord with gladness and offer back to him ourselves with humble, obedient, and trusting service. You know, deliverance from trouble impresses on us our responsibility to proclaim the goodness of God. You see, David wrote, "I have told your people about your justice. I have not been afraid to speak out, as you, O Lord, well know. I have not kept this good news hidden in my heart. I have talked about your faithfulness and saving power. I have told everyone in the great assembly of your unfailing love and faithfulness." So these are some responsibilities that we have today. Some of us will preach Christ, teach Christ. We need to all exemplify Christ in all aspects of our lives, relationships, and service. We all need to abide in Christ in our personal devotions and our thoughts. We need to witness Christ to the whole world, and we need to love others with the love of Christ. We need to give with the resources of Christ. We simply need to worship Christ and fellowship with the believers in Christ. Hallelujah. We have to hang in there with Christ or endure with Christ. And then we have to be willing to equip others in Christ. Also, we need to find our own resources in Christ, our protection in Christ. We need to find our own sufficient grace in Christ, and we need to suffer with Christ. If we know Christ, we need to make Christ known and confess our sins to Christ and delight ourselves in Christ. Hallelujah. We need to look to Christ as the one who will help us all to overcome and by developing the character qualities of Christ himself. We need to always be empowered by Christ and his holy word. Now, I came to tell you, saints, that it is okay to ask the Lord not to hold back any element of his provisions, his mercy, love, and faithful intervention in our lives. David wrote, "Lord, do not hold back your tender mercies from me. My only hope is in your unfailing love and faithfulness." for troubles surround me, too many to count. They pile up so high, I can't see my way out. They are more numerous than the hairs on my head, and I have lost my courage. You know what? Many of us take for granted that things are going okay. And then suddenly we can find ourselves overwhelmed when trouble comes along. But we need to realize that the world, the flesh, and the devil hate, they all hate God's children and all of our works of righteousness. Paul wrote, "For the flesh sets itself against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do what you please." That's Galatians 5 and 16. Peter also wrote, "The devil prowls around you like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That was Peter. "But cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you." That's 1 Peter 5, 7, and 8. "Anyone thinks he stands, let him take heed lest he falls." That's 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So in order to prevent from being overrun, overwhelmed, or overtaken by the onslaught of evil that we are seeing today, we need to take advantage of the dry times to prepare for the next battle, because as sure as we keep living, it will come. It is just a matter of time, as the devil says. The devil seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said that he has come to give us life, and life more abundantly. Only Jesus is able to prepare, equip, and build us up to a point where we will be able to handle the upcoming hardships that are bound to befall us every once in a while. God wants to grant us protection for the future problems that we will face if we will praise him in advance. I have actually made a list of 641 attributes of God that are listed on Sermon Central under the topic Attributes of God. I have written 641 prayers of praise for 641 different characteristics of God that inspire me when I am feeling down. And you know what this does? It enables me to draw strength for future difficulties. It challenges me and gives me an opportunity to be even a greater witness for God and his marvelous power to deliver. Now, you can also make your own list of the attributes of God and then put it in your car, in your purse, in your back pocket, in your backpack, where you can whip it out when you're walking, standing in the checkout line, or just simply waiting for someone or something. We need to trust in the Lord to help us for our entire life. Our ministry and relationships must be a testimony to a journey from the pits of hell to higher levels of praise. I want us all to learn how to more effectively please the Lord in all respects, and I want all of us to be able to bear fruit in every good work as we increase in our nearness and knowledge of the Lord and his will for our lives. You know, I think we delight to praise what we enjoy because we praise because it doesn't merely express, but it completes the enjoyment. Hallelujah. Saints of God, yes. We are looking at fires. We have seen the hurricanes. Hallelujah. We have seen the tornadoes. We have seen the civil unrest. We have seen the inequality. And it's enough to make you just want to scream. But I came to tell you today, don't give up. Don't give out. Don't go down into that pit. But you give yourself over, hallelujah, to praise. Glory to God. So right now, I see God has answered our prayer. Mr. Adam Tuggle is in the house now, and he will have his entire hour to bring his lesson. But I want to thank you, saints of God, for listening to me as I stood in his stead to tell us all about moving from those pits of depression to praising our Lord God. So now, without further ado, let me turn this program over to your host, Minister Adam Tuggle. Amen.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to the Summit with Adam Tuggle. I praise the Lord for Bishop Cook standing in my stead. We had to take care of some business here in Indianapolis, but we're still moving on in Jesus' name. And I thank God for the part that I came in on and I was listening to. It actually ties into what we're talking about today. Believe it or not, it seems like every time the Lord knows what he's doing. Lord knows what he's doing. That's for sure. Because today we're talking about a very, very powerful topic today, and this topic today hits home with me, and I know it hits home with other people, other saints, and people that are not in church. It makes you think. The title of this topic is it worth your time? Is it worth your time? Time is of the essence for us as people. The coming of the Lord is at hand. We see various things going on, as Bishop Cook talked about. And I heard her mention in there that we sometimes get overwhelmed with our issues and our problems, but is it worth your time to get over, to even worry about the issues? Is it worth your time to stress over the issues? That time that you're stressing about it, you could be praying about it. Is it worth the time to be stressing over? Or is it worth the time to be praying over? Is it worth your time to just lean on your own understanding? Or is it worth your time to lean on God's understanding and in all thy ways acknowledge him? We must understand that we have to make our calling and our election sure. And the Bible does say, occupy until he comes. So that's what we must do. We must occupy until he comes. But we must understand that is it worth everything that we go through, is it worth the time? Is it worth it? Is living this life in holiness worth it? And I say yes. I asked a question on Facebook to all of the pew babies, the ones that grew up in church and the ones that fell away, was it worth it? Basically, was it worth you growing up in church? And I got a lot of great responses from it because a lot of people say, yes, it was a blessing to me. It is a blessing to me to be growing up in church because I didn't see the pitfalls through my young life. You know, when you became, the Bible says, train them up in the way, train up a child in the way they should go, for when they're old, they would not depart, which means that what you have put down in that child at a young age, they might walk away, they might go astray, but they will always have that what was put down inside of them in the back of their mind. It will never leave them. That word that you have put down in them, they're teaching them how to pray, they're teaching them how to fast, they're teaching them how to give, they're teaching them how to live right, it will never leave them. They may not do it at that time, but it will never leave them. That's why the Bible tells us to train up a child. Because if we don't learn how, and even with baby saints, we have to learn how to we have to learn how to be in our walk with Christ. If we're going to be in this walk with Christ, we have to be in it totally. We have to be in it 100%, 365 days a year. We have to, it's not going to be easy. Our walk is not going to be easy, even if life itself is not easy. Life itself is not easy. Whether you're saved or unsaved, life is not easy. Life is going to throw its jabs at us. Life is going to have its hurdles. But we must understand as people of God that we have to make up in our minds, is it worth our time worrying about the issues, worrying about the frustrations of our lives, worrying about the problems of our lives? Most of us sometimes, we worry more about the negative than the positive. I'm sorry. We worry about the whole negative of the problem than the positive. Sometimes when we, and look, I'm going to hit the church again today. Sometimes when we hear the word no from the Lord, we consider it as a punishment, but sometimes we need to consider it as a blessing. Sometimes no could be your blessing. Is it worth your time going to God? God, where is this? Where is that? Why are you worried about it? I found out that when I pray to the Lord and I sit there and I wait, do you know it comes to pass faster than what I've done, than me worrying about it? I mean, trying to fix it myself. It's not worth the time of trying to fix it yourself. Look, let me say this. If we could fix every single problem that we have in our life, whether it be physical, mental, financial, whatever, we wouldn't need the Lord. I say, well, why would? Yeah, we would. We would still. No, you wouldn't. If you had all the power in the world to fix every single one of your problems, to have to perform every single one of your needs, to meet every single one of your needs, if you had the power to give yourself every desire that you wanted, you wouldn't need the Lord.
Say that.
Amen. You wouldn't need him. But we do. I was talking to a person on my job a year ago, and he took it upon himself, and I pray for him all the time, as a God. And he said, we're all gods. I said, wait, whoa, first of all, I'm not a God. Don't be putting me up there. I'm not a God. Don't be doing that. And that's what I told him. I told him just like that. You ain't about to get me struck. No. But when he began to say that, I started thinking, okay, you're a God. And I asked it. I said, okay, you're a God. We're gonna leave it like that. You're a God. Now, let me ask you a question. And this is what I asked it. I said, if you're powerful, because he began to tell him, he was trying to say that the God I serve was that I didn't need him because I had the power enough to do whatever I wanted to do and make whatever I want to happen. I said, okay. I said, number one, you didn't have the power to wake yourself up this morning. He said, yeah, I did. I heard the alarm clock.
Come on, preacher.
But you had the power. I have the power to pray, but you said you heard the alarm clock. But guess what? The Lord could have had it to the point that you could have went deaf in the middle of the night and not heard that alarm clock. Uh-huh. You wouldn't have heard not a nary thing.
Come on.
If you got the power, if you're a God, then why haven't you got everything that you want and everything that you need? He said, well, what? He said, I do have everything I want and everything I need. I said, okay, so are you rich? He said, no. I said, do you want to be? He said, yeah. I said, well, why aren't you? If you're a God, you would have the power to make yourself rich, and you wouldn't be working at the place that we're working at. If you're God.
Amen. Amen.
If you're God and you have all this power, like you say you got, you wouldn't be working at the place that we're working at. I thank God for my job now. Don't get me wrong. But I was trying to prove a point. You're not a God. Neither am I. We got the abilities that God given us, yes, but we cannot take credit for the abilities that God has given us. It's not worth it, because just in that mere instant, we can lose everything. Just as well as we gain stuff, we can lose everything that quick and that fast. It's not worth it. It is not worth your time worrying about the problems that you have no control over. It is not worth your time to worry about where this money is going to come from, where this financial thing is going to come from, where that financial thing is going to come from. It's not worth it. But it is worth it for you to pray without ceasing. It is worth it for you to lean and depend on God. It is worth it for you to hold on to God's unchanging hand. Shall I go on? It is worth it. It is worth it. It's worth it for you. Because at the end of the day, all of this that we're talking about today, at the end of the day, our main goal and our main objective is to make it to heaven. It's the goal. All this materialistic stuff, I've said it before and I'll say it again. I hear a lot of preachers talking about you're going to get this and you're going to get that. And they talk about materialistic stuff. They're talking about you're going to start your new business. You can't take a business to heaven. It's good. The Lord might want you to have that. But I, like I said before, we hear more prophets saying about this, more materialistic stuff than we ever do. It's time out for all that. I want to hear somebody tell me, I want somebody to prophesy, oh, this person going to pray more. This person going to fast more. It's time out. It ain't worth your time to be over there. Now, I'm talking to the preachers now, us preachers. It's no time in the world for us to be worrying about who's going to get the next house, who's going to get the next car. Because some of these prophets that are prophesying this stuff, they prophet lying. Not all of them. I ain't going to say all of them now. But if I'm hearing more of, I'm going to get a house, I'm going to get a car, I'm going to get this, I'm going to get, y'all's treating God like a Santa Claus, and God ain't pleased with it. God ain't pleased with it. I'm going to tell you now.
Say that. Amen.
God, you treating God like a Santa Claus. When you going to say, well, when somebody going to say, we going to spend more time with the Lord. We're going to get a better understanding of the Word of God. We're going to start a prayer ministry. We're going to start a fasting ministry. Come on, work for the Lord. The kingdom of God suffers violence, but the violent take it by force, things by force. See, the enemy, thank you, Jesus. See, the enemy come in as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I heard Bishop Cook say that earlier. He's seeking whom he may devour. Like my pastor says, there's going to be a great falling away. But your name was not written in that great falling away. So you ain't got to be in that. There's going to come a day. There's going to come a time where we're going to have to addy up, skin like saints. And the time is now. It ain't worth it. Your time is very, very valuable. Time is of the essence. We talked about it last week, a 911 emergency. We got a big emergency on our hands. We got a big emergency. We got souls out there that need to be saved. We got souls that need to hear about the repentance and the baptism in Jesus' name. They need to hear about receiving the Holy Ghost. They need to hear about being restored. They need to hear about the healings and the times that God has touched your life and God has healed you and God has delivered you out of sin and God has put his mercy upon you. The people need to hear this. They don't need to hear all of the all of the long drawn down and out testimony. Oh, the devil did this to me. The devil, the time is of the, there's no time for that. It's not worth your time to be telling, look, okay, I'm sorry, y'all. I'm going to go here. Have you ever been inside a service? Have you ever been inside a service? And I know we're in the middle of a pandemic, and I know that we're not in the building yet. We're going to get there. But have you ever been inside a service where a person is up there testifying and the only thing they're doing is talking about the devil?
Oh, Ooh, come on now.
Did I hit a nerve? I'm sorry. No, I'm not. What you mean they're talking about the devil? They're not supposed to be. They talk about the devil. Let me give you an example. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. I want to give God the honor and the glory. They start off with that. I'm going to give honor to the pastor and all that, you know, little stuff. And then they go into, you know, last week I dealt with this issue and that issue, and the devil did this to me, and the devil did this, and the devil did that. All you hear is the devil. And all you hear is the problem did this to me, and my back was hurting, and my kids were acting up, and all of this stuff. And at the end they say, well, I thank God. You gave God one bit of thanks, one bit. You gave the Lord 25% of that. 25% of that testimony was about God, and the rest of that, the 75% was of the devil and of your problems. When y'all going to stop? When are we going to stop giving our problems the glory? When are we going to stop giving the devil the glory? Because the Bible clearly tells us that he does not give his glory to another. He's a jealous God. That means his praise, too. Y'all may not believe me, but it's in the Word. He will not give his glory to another. He hates that. He is a very jealous comes to people giving his praise to other things and other people. When you over there, let me show you why the Lord, see, the Lord just brought this to my memory now. There's a reason why the Lord sometimes says no to the things we ask for. Let me show you why. See, the person that gives the blessing does not change. Sometimes the person receiving the blessing changes when they receive the blessing. And they get so caught up on the blessing instead of the blesser, the one that gave the blessing, and they get so caught up on the gift than the giver that they lose eyesight on the worship and the praise. And they start giving the worship and the praise to the blessing. It's no time for that. It ain't worth your time. What do you mean that you start giving worship and praise to the blessing? Well, let me give you an example. Lord blesses you with a car. First you say, Lord, if you bless me with this car, this is where people make vows and break them. Oh, Lord, if you give me this car, I'll start picking people up for church and all of this stuff. I've seen it happen. I've seen this happen. So I'm not talking about something that I don't know. I've seen it happen. Lord, if you bless me to get this car, I'll pick the saints up for church. I won't miss a mere Bible class. I won't miss a Sunday. And as soon as you get that car, you'd be like, and pastor asks you or the saint asks you to pick them up for church or take them home. Oh, no, I got to go somewhere after service, and I'm trying to be on time for service. Well, I'm not going to service today. I got to work. And then you got some people that are so caught up in themselves that they make sure that they ain't got no room in their car. And I'm just talking about the car now. This is just an example. They make sure that they ain't got no space in their car for nobody, so they ain't got to take nobody home. Time out for that. Time out for that. It ain't no time. The time is of the essence. Your time and God's time are two totally different things. See, we're living on borrowed time right now. All of us, each and every one of us is living on borrowed time. And I'll even go deeper than that. I'm here on the radio, but I'm living on borrowed time. Every person is living on borrowed time. And when I say borrowed time, we're living on the Lord's time. But the Lord could call anybody that he wants home at any time. Man, woman, boy, or girl. He can call them home. I just watched as we see people, and it ain't just the coronavirus taking people out. There's young people, there's elderly people, there's middle-aged folks that are leaving out of this world. There's children, there's babies, every age bracket. But you cannot, we got to live according to the will of God. We got to live according to the work of the Lord. Because our time and God's time is two totally different times. Yes, we're living on earthly time. But let me tell you something. Let me give you an example. I've said this before. Everybody in their right mind and everybody on earth wants to go to heaven. Everybody wants to go to heaven. I do. Everybody wants to go. But I've said this before, just like the NBA players, just like the football players, everybody might be great. There might be some great athletes on the NBA, in the NBA, but there's very few Hall of Famers. That's why the Bible says hell enlarges itself daily, because not everybody's going to heaven. If hell was enlarging in itself daily, then that means everybody's not going to heaven. Narrow is the way. We have to take this time and use it wisely. We have to take this time and make something valuable out of it. Every chance we get, we should be talking about the Lord. Every chance we get, we should be witnessing. Every single chance we get, we should be praying. Every single chance we get, we should be fasting. Every single chance we get, and look, I've said this in a sermon before. When you go, look, everybody, some people, I ain't going to say everybody, but some people think that they need a pulpit to preach from. Hit a nerve. I brought my amens with me. They're getting tablets, they're getting iPads and stuff, and they grabbing Bibles, and they think they preachers, and they're not doing anything. They sounding relatively simple.
Mm-hmm.
And they think just because you have melodious words does not make you a preacher. Just because you got a Bible in your hand does not make you a preacher. But it's the anointing that destroys the yoke. It is the anointing. It is not you. Not you, man of God. It's not you, woman of God. But it is the anointing that is supposed to rest and abide on the inside of you that destroys the yoke, that takes down demons. We have so many people that pick up a tablet now or an iPad and think they're preachers and they want to be in a pulpit somewhere preaching. That is not, I said this in a sermon, and my pastor, he allowed me to speak at my church, and I said this during a sermon. I said, this right here is not my place. It's my pastor's place to teach from the pulpit. He just allows me to come and preach to work my gift. It's not my place. Want to know where your place is? Want to know where my place is? I'm going to use me. You want to know where my place is? The streets. Come on now. To compel men to come unto repentance.
Say that.
The streets are my pulpit. The streets are where I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to be everywhere I go. I'm supposed to be telling somebody about Jesus. That's where I'm supposed to be. In the midst of it all, I'm supposed to be ministering the word of God. When I'm on my job, when I'm in the car, when I'm going to the mall, when I'm going here, when I'm going to the store. And it's not just what you say, it's about the way you live your life. Because it's your life that speaks volumes. But you know what? Like I said, one day we're going to have to add up and kick in like saints. We're going to have to kick in like saints. Because time is of the essence. Time is being used. Look, when you start worrying about your issues, do you know you're giving away time that you could use?
Come on, preacher.
To do something? When you worry about your issues and your problems, do you know that's time that you're taking away to come up with solutions to those problems? I have a lot. I deal with issues on a day-to-day basis, but not every issue needs my attention. Not every issue needs my attention.
Say that.
Every issue needs attention to? You know who wants to attend to those every issue? The Lord. Not every issue in my life needs my attention. Especially the ones I can't fix. Now, if I can fix them, and I'm not saying don't try to fix the problems that are going on. I'm not saying that. Because faith without works is dead. We know this. There's things that you can do to fix problems. Yes, I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is that the issues that you cannot fix are the issues you cannot change, the issues you know you cannot change, that you know you need to take it to the Lord, let the Lord work it out. And stop worrying about it. But that time you taking out to worry about it could be time that you could be near your breakthrough by praying about it. Sometimes the Lord allows us to sit in things just to see what we're going to do. Just to see what we're going to do. Are we going to clam up to the problem or are we going to rejoice? Are we going to give in to the problem or are we going to praise him to the problem? Is it worth your time? I heard Bishop Cook talk about being overwhelmed. We cannot get overwhelmed with the issues of our lives. Because let me show y'all something. When you get overwhelmed with something, it takes your energy naturally, and it can take your energy spiritually too. Life can leave you when you're worrying about stuff. Life can leave you. Your energy can leave you. You worry about this over here, and you worry about that over there, and you over here worrying about something, and you over there worrying about something. You got something over here and left field worried about. That's overwhelming. And it can be overwhelming. Life can be overwhelming. It can be overwhelming. Oh, my goodness. But that's where we have to understand. We got to take it to the Lord in prayer and let him work it out. Is it worth your time? Is that issue worth? You might say, well, if I don't deal with it, or if I don't deal with it, then it won't happen. If I don't talk to the Lord about it, I didn't say don't talk to the Lord about it. What I mean by is it worth your time? Doesn't mean that you don't have to talk about it. Doesn't mean you don't have to face it. I'm not talking about that. Face it, pray about it, then leave it alone. Stop worrying about it. Pray about it. When you're praying about it, you're facing it. But when you pray about it and then 10 minutes later, you on the couch. Just, oh my God, I wonder why I'm gonna get this money from to pay this bill. I wonder why I'm gonna get this money. This light's gonna be shut off next week. I don't have the money. I don't have now. If you spending your money, we done had a lesson on finances now. Now I ain't talking to the ones that you go out, you done spent your rent money on something now. Hold on. Now we ain't talk about that. You need to be a better doer with your money. If you taking your rent money or your light bill money, I'm gonna help you today. I'm gonna tell you how to get rid of that problem. Pay your bills. Boom, there you go. Pay your bills first. Bow. Just one for the go. All right, that's one for the road for y'all on today. But it's just the problems that we might come up on financial issues where we don't have any money. That's what I'm talking about. But we don't, where the meal barrel is low and we don't have the money to get. So we worry about it. We're worrying about how we're going to feed our children, our husbands worrying about how they're going to feed their family. Maybe you have just lost your job and you're wondering where your next money is going to come from. We in the middle of something right now, just with this pandemic. I understand. I thoroughly understand. Jobs lost, people hardly finding work. I understand. This is what I'm talking about. But that's where you need to lean and depend on God. Look, I told somebody a couple years ago, I love my mother. I love my father. I love my sisters and my brothers, my nieces, my nephews, and I even take it deeper than that. I love my wife and my children. I love each and every person. Love my friends. Love the saints of triumphant faith assembly. But none of those people can do me like Jesus. As close as I am to each and every person, whether it be spiritually or naturally, whether they be blood or not, can't nobody do me like Jesus. I don't depend on my check. I don't depend on my check. I don't depend on my work check. Because when you get the 100, look, let me show y'all something. The reason why I don't depend on my work check to pay my bills and to take care of my family is because I could lose that check. I could go ill while I can't work. I don't depend on my check. Now I have a job to make sure I make money to provide for my family, yes. But I don't depend on my check. I don't depend on my job. I don't depend on nothing but the Lord to take care of my family. Because my energy could leave me and I may not have a job. I don't depend on my other check. Depend on that. I don't depend on the government. I don't depend on, my Lord, Jesus Christ, that's another story for another day. We all know that story. But we must understand, is it worth your time? Is it worth your time at the end of the day? The problems that we deal with, I'm learning just as well as y'all learning, that every issue that I have, every overwhelming thing in my life does not need a response to it, does not garner my attention. What I mean, and I said it earlier, every issue does not garner my attention in my life. Not saying don't face it. Not saying don't talk about it. Not saying don't, if you're married, don't talk to your spouse about it. Just talk about it, pray about it, and go on. Especially those issues that we can't do nothing with. Stop harping over it. Stop worrying about it. Stop crying in the midnight hour over it. Me and my wife, we have a philosophy. We take care of what needs to be taken care of at the time it needs to be taken care of. If we ain't got the money, hey, look, babe, look, we gonna take care of that next week when we got the money for it. Are we gonna take care of that when we can take care of it? See, I'm a person, and I'm gonna be honest. My wife has to get on me sometimes because she's like, "You jumping the gun? Don't do that." Because sometimes I worry about my family. I worry about my family is being provided for. And when my wife says she needs something, or when my children say they need something, I try to get it for them right then and there. I don't have to work. I don't try to wait nothing because I'm that type of individual. I grew up that way. Well, my father went to work, y'all. Still working. But he taught us how to take care of our family. He taught all my brothers. He told all of us, when you get your wives, take care of them. Take care of your children. Because your children ain't going, you're going to have to be there to take care of your wife and your children. Because your wife might have a job, but she going to need you. To help take care of the children. Now, I'm not saying, now, I know for a certainty that my wife can handle her own. My wife can handle her own. But as a man, as a husband, as a father, I want to be there for my family. And the Lord knows this. The Lord knows this. That's why the Lord gives me the strength to get up and go to work. That's why the Lord gives her the strength to get up and go to work. But those problems that we have, it is no time to be worrying and worrying and worrying, pulling your hair out, trying to take care of issues that you know you can't handle. Because when you do that, when we do that, as people of God and as people that call themselves not nine or whatever, good, bad, or indifferent, wherever you stand with the Lord, it's good for you to take it to the Lord, every issue, because he can handle it all. Because, see, look, watch this. I'm going to show you how much power he got. He can handle my issue and deal with your issue and then still deal with Bishop Cook's issue. Amen. He can deal with my wife's issue, deal with my issue, deal with Bishop Cook's issue, deal with y'all's issues all at the same time. Bishop Cook could be praying on her knees in the middle of the night. I could be up the next early that morning, be up praying to him. And he heard Bishop Cook's prayer that night before and still, I'm going to work on Bishop Cook's, and I'm still hearing Adam.
Come on.
At the same time. And still be over here listening to my wife praying her head.
Mm-hmm.
That's how powerful he is. Watch this. He heard Bishop Cook in the middle of the night praying. Okay, well, he done healed her listening to me while listening to my wife praying her thoughts while healing this person over here. He yet healing two people here and yet still hearing two people's requests. I'm going to go further than that. He can go all the way to another country and be present with them and still cater to us. That's how powerful he is. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. He will not leave us. He said, I will never leave you. He said, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you.
Amen.
So what that means, his word is real. He said he would never leave us. He said he would never forsake us. I just gave an example right there. Watch this. Watch this. I'm about to give this example. Bishop Cook.
Yes, sir.
I got
I want you to do something for me.
Yes, sir.
Have you ever been in a place, and this is off the wall here, y'all, and this is off the top of my head, this is unscripted right here. I have not talked to Bishop Cook not one time about this.
Mm-mm.
The last time that you needed the Lord to heal you, do you believe that with your faith in your prayers that he would do it?
Oh, yes.
Do you believe that he is able to do exceedingly and abundantly?
Oh, yes. That's what his word tells us.
Mm-hmm. Just like the woman with the issue of blood, you went to him. Spiritually, you said, okay, Lord, I need you.
Now, yes,
I'm not talking
yes.
to Bishop
Come
Cook
on.
At all. I haven't talked to Bishop Cook at all. The time that he healed you, what happened to you?
Oh, hallelujah. I was healed completely. Hallelujah. There was no even a sign that I had been sick. And I was filled with praise and worship because my God, hallelujah, once again validated his word. See, if my God says it, he will do it. Hallelujah. And I believe what my Father says. Amen?
See, that's the thing. That's the whole nature of the thing. You have to believe. Belief is nothing but faith. Faith is belief. What you believe in, you're going to act upon. We have to believe him. That's why the title of this topic, is it worth your time? The issues that we have in our life, is it worth your time to be thinking about? If you're going to believe him 100%. If you're not, then don't believe him. Don't believe him that he can heal a toe ache, and don't believe him, and then not believe him that he can give you the desires of your heart. Let me give you an example of me. And we're about to wrap up here because, man, this could go on and on and on. But let me show y'all something.
All right.
You're listening to a man or a young man that had a heart rate of 242 beats a minute.
Come on, bring it. Testify.
And in that 242 beats a minute, I was at Ben Davis High School, and I was going up the stairs, and this happened in 2005. I went up there to my science class, and I was going up the stairs. And if you're in the Indianapolis area, and if you live in Indianapolis, and if you've ever been to Ben Davis, you'll know how big Ben Davis is. And if you don't know, Google it. Google it. I guarantee you, you'll find it. Trust me. Ben Davis High School. Well, I was going up the stairs, and I felt my heart going out of rhythm. And this is what happened to me. When I hit the top of the steps, I passed out. That night, I went to the hospital. My heart kept doing this constantly all day long, going in and out of rhythm. The nurse that checked me in called the doctor. The doctor asked me, he said, how long has your heart been doing this? I said, it's been doing like this all day. Now, there's a reason why God had me in the place. See, there's sometimes that God has us in a place. I didn't mean to go here, but I'm going here now. There's a reason. God has a reason why he has us in the place that we're in. The things that we go through is a reason for it. There's a reason for it. There's a reason why God had me in this place, because the doctor that I had was an atheist. That's one of the reasons. I was asking God why. Why? Why does this have to happen to me? Why does this have to happen to me, God? Oh, God, please tell me why. I got no answer. I got no answer. It was when I was not even in church, because everybody that knows me here in Indianapolis knows I love to praise the Lord. I love to jump. I love to shout. I love to do all that. And I couldn't do that because my heart was out of rhythm. And my pastor, my former pastor, she said, you know, just sit down. you know, the Lord understands, wave your hand, you know, we don't want your heart going out of rhythm. So, you know, you need to be cautious of your heart. Okay, mama. All right. I'm gonna be obedient. Be obedient to the doctor. I'm gonna sit there and wave my hand, but I didn't ask God to heal me. I didn't ask God to heal me. What I asked God to do was let me praise you like I want to, even if it's just one time. Even if it's just one time, just let me praise you like I want to. And it wasn't during a church service. It was during a choir rehearsal that I felt the hand of God on my chest. And it felt like a little, it felt like a burning sensation on my chest. I felt hand on, pressed up against my chest. And the devil was in the back of my mind saying, if you shout, you're going to die. If you shout, you're going to pass out and die. But I said, if I'm going to die, I'm going out with a praise.
Amen.
That's how much faith I had. That's how
Amen.
Much faith I had.
Hallelujah.
I said, Lord, let me just praise you. And I felt God's hand touch my chest. And it felt like it wasn't like a hurting sensation. It felt like he was massaging my chest, like he was massaging my heart. And I began to praise God like I wanted to. And I shouted all over that choir box. And the day I went to the doctor. Now this is fast forward when that happened. But switch back, at 2005, I went into the hospital and they said, well, with your heart doing this all day, when you hit that floor, you were supposed to drop dead then. My doctor asked me, how do you do this? How are you getting around? How are you able to do this and do that? I said, it's nothing but the grace of God. It's nothing but the grace of God. While I move, he said, well, what do you do? I said, I go to church and I praise God. That's all I do, and I go to work. At that time, I didn't have a family. At that time, I didn't have a wife nor children. I said, I praise God. That's all I do. And he said, well, I don't believe in all that stuff, but all right. But then I had a procedure done on my heart, and he came in before the procedure. He said, that has been given to you in the past and the medicine I'm giving you now could fail you at any time and you could just die. He said, but whatever you are doing, keep doing it because it's keeping you alive. The praises of God has kept me alive. The worship has kept me alive. The manifestation of knowing that God is able, my thought process of my faith has kept me alive this long for 32 years, almost 33 years now. I'll be 33 in November. And I'm yet praising him for life and having it more abundantly. There's no time. This is no time to be sitting down on our do nothing and not doing anything. But it is a time to give God the glory. But you fast forward, this doctor that was an atheist had a child that had the same issues as me. Fast forward, after he told me that, he said, whatever you're doing it, keeping you alive. I was volunteering at St. Vincent's Hospital, and a person that knew my grandmother, was saved way back when, before I was born. And she used to work at St. Vincent's Hospital. And they knew of her standard of holiness. Well, this lady found out that was my grandmother and asked me to go in and pray for this little girl. I went in and prayed for this little girl and come to find out that little girl's doctor was mine. And he saw me coming out of the room. And he went in and asked what happened. But when I went back in there to check on the little girl's mother said, I told him what you did. And he said, his first words were, now I know everything's going to be all right. Adam done prayed. I know everything's going to be all right now. And this is coming out of the mouth of an atheist. God has us in places for seasons. for a reason. It is no time to give in. It is no time to get our thought process in overwhelming mode about the issues of our lives. Stop worrying about it. Give it over to the Lord and be done with it. Because just as well as you taking the time out to worry about it, you could be missing out on the brink of your miracle. When you pray about it, you're getting closer to your miracle. When you fast about it, you're getting closer to your breakthrough. When you are in the Word of God, when you get closer to God in the Word, when you study the Word, you're getting closer to your breakthrough. I don't know who I'm talking to today. I'm sorry. We don't went over. I'm sorry, Bishop. I'm sorry. When you go and tap into the anointing,
go ahead.
When you tap into his presence, when you've done tapping into his presence, you get closer to your breakthrough. You're getting closer. Somebody needs to tap into their breakthrough. Somebody needs to tap into. You have not reached the pinnacle yet. You have not tapped into where you need to be. You have not tapped into where you need to be, so you need to tap more. Pray more.
Yes.
You need to fast more.
Yes.
You need to read the Word of God more. You need to seek his
Come
face.
On.
Sometimes we need to lay prostrated. Sometimes we need to lay prostrated before him. And sometimes when we thank you, Jesus. Sometimes
Come on, Jesus.
Pray,
Hallelujah,
Jesus.
Holy Ghost. Come on.
Sometimes when we pray, we do not need to talk.
Say that.
Sometimes, I don't know who I'm talking to, but sometimes when we pray, we do not need to talk.
Don't have to say
most
a word.
Of us are doing,
Come on.
Most of us are doing all the talking. And sometimes the Lord wants to talk to us.
He wants us to
sometimes
listen.
Lord,
Come on.
The Lord wants to minister to us. The Lord wants to minister to our needs. But if we're talking, we do not understand the ministry that God has for us. We do not understand the word. That's why when you say... When you over there saying, and I hear the voices, I see it in the spirit, well, God, what am I supposed to do? It's because you don't understand what you're supposed to do because you ain't listening. And just lay prostrated before him. Just stay there in dead silence, nothing going on. It's a joy to be in his presence. Every time you can get in his presence, get in it. Every time you can pray, do it. Every time you can fast, do it. I don't care what's around you. I don't care who's around you. I don't care who like it, who don't like it. If the Lord is leading you to fast, if the Lord is leading you to pray, if the Lord is leading you to lay prostrate, do it. If you're married, if you're single, do it. In Jesus' name. Is it worth your time? I'm sorry, y'all. We don't win over. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I love you guys. I love each and every one of
it's
you.
It's all right. It's all right.
I love
you. Got 5 minutes.
I love each and every one of you. Bishop Cook counting me down, y'all. I got 5 minutes.
Yeah, five.
I love each and every one of you in Jesus' name. But I want us to grab a hold to the anointing that God's got for us. And in this last 5 minutes that I'm going to use, I'm going to say this. Be not weary in well-doing. Be not weary in well-doing. As it states in Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This biblically is the only way for us to see the Lord's face one day. This is the only way, Bible, that we can see him in peace, in Jesus' name. If I don't see you again, I'm going to say it like my grandmother used to say. If I don't see you again, or if you don't hear from me again, you'll hear my voice in the rapture saying, glory, hallelujah. We made it.
Hallelujah.
Over. If I don't hear you, if y'all don't hear my voice next Saturday, I'll see you in the rapture. And you'll hear me say what? You'll hear him say, well done. Thy good and faithful servant. And when we enter in, hallelujah. We'll be able to praise him together. Won't be no Won't be no airway barrier. Ha, y'all both shout out. Y'all both shout out.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise him.
Next week, I probably got 2 minutes. Next week, we're going to be talking about heaven, y'all. We're going to go into the glorious of heaven. We're going to be talking about heaven. And we're going to, and guess what? I'm sorry to say it. No, I ain't. We're going to be talking about hell, too. And I'm going to
use
the title of the title of next week's topic. It's either heaven or hell. Pick your choice.
All glory to God.
It's either heaven or hell. Pick your choice. I love each and every one of you. God bless you on today.
God bless
you. I hope
you
have a blessed weekend and have a great day at church tomorrow. Bishop Cook, I love you. In Jesus' name, thank you for allowing us to come once again. God bless you, everybody.
Bless you.
I love you. I love each and every one of you. God bless you all. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.